हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Warm.
Yes.
Less warm than in May.
Less, yes.
Yeah. Look at the bright side.
Much less.
Yeah. Okay. On four, huh? Oh, nobody knows.
Sure.
Of course.
Okay. After glorifying the topmost devotees, now Sanatan Goswami extols their place of residence. Text 4. All glories to Goddess Mathura Devi, the best of holy cities. She enchants the mind. She is most dear to the enemy of Kamsa. She is adorned with the Lord's birthplace. The city of Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion, not to mention the various pastimes the Lord has played there. As we shall see, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a whistle-stop tour of the universe. Narad Muni takes us on a journey to cities belonging to humans, demigods, and incarnations of God. Again, however, Sanatana Goswami spoils the surprise. He reveals here the topmost abode in all of existence. Because Mathura has the Supreme Lord always present within her borders, she is supremely attractive, pleases the mind of anyone who comes in contact with her, fulfills all categories of desires. In this regard, the Skanda Purana, the Vaishnava Kanda 5.17.52, states, to those who have material desires, Mathura gives the three aims of human work. To those who want liberation, Mathura grants liberation. And to those rare souls who want pure devotion, Mathura gives pure devotion. What intelligent person, therefore, would not take shelter of Mathura? Mathura is the best of the seven principal holy cities, Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, Mathura, Ayodhya, Mayapuri, that's Haridwar, and Dwarka, which can each award liberation, as we learn from the authority of the Skanda Purana, Kashi Kanda 6.68. So, you have all these, but then what you're getting Mathura is giving can give, one is that love for Krishna, the other ones that are all connected, but it's not going to that limit. So then Mathura is considered the highest in that case. Because Krishna appeared there and that. So here also Mathura, well, it's mentioning Mathura that means the whole place. Like that. Yeah, yeah. And that in your general. Otherwise, then when you're being more specific, then you'll say Gokul. And then there'll be, how you say, Goloka. Like we were saying before. So Goloka means the aspects of majesty. Right? Sweetness is still there through Golok because Krishna, in the same personality, goes throughout all the three places. But Gokul is where it's just sweetness. You know? So that aspect is there. This verse also hints at the text prayojana, or the result the student can expect by reading the book and following its prescribed path. All glories to this place where we are living. Lord Murari's Vrindavan, forest. He prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of elevated saints. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him in the mood of the rasa dance he increases by sweetly playing his flute. Here, Srila Sanatan further zones in on the Lord's most beloved pastime places, Sri Brajabhumi, the most sacred part of Mathura district. It's where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his exceptionally sweet pastimes. There are three places of distinction within Brajabhumi, and this and the next two verses focus on them. Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the Jamuna. Footnote 2. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam first mentions these three places when Krishna and Balaram move from Mahavan to avoid the dangers developing there. O King Parikit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:11-36. Right. There's also is that there's the, I think Rupa Goswami mentions about these three. All these three can give love for Krishna. Right? The dust of Vrindavan, Jamuna Devi, and Govardhan Hill. So therefore they're special amongst. Because it's because they're dear to Krishna, therefore they have this specialness. And being dear to Krishna, then they can give that kind of love that Krishna is experiencing in these places. That's why the fifth main element is that a respect for the Dham, that service to the Dham. Yes.
Radharani also says somewhere that she refuses to come down to this world unless these three places also manifest.
Manifest, okay. So if they're there first, then she'll come. Yeah. Okay, that's nice. That's was that footnote 2? Since these three places are most dear to Krishna, Srila Sanatana Goswami praises them in the hope of obtaining their blessings and mercy. The fact that Krishna resides eternally in Vrindavan, in spite of superficial appearances, is attested to in the 10th canto. Even after Krishna and Balaram left for Mathura, the ladies in Kamsa's arena describe the Lord's wandering throughout Brajabhumi in the present tense, implying it was still manifest there, as he is now and always. How pious are the tracts of land in Braja, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about, enacting his many pastimes. His feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Goddess Rama, adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands. He vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-13. So, you have see, because Goloka is unique in the in Vaikuntha, in that it's always Krishna who is performing pastimes, right? In Vaikuntha, then you have Vishnu. So it's Krishna who's present in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, right? And it's the same on the one. It's the same Krishna, right? But the flavor is different. So the flavor that Krishna manifests in Braj, you will not see in Mathura or Dwarka. Therefore, even the here's the who is he saying was saying this. The ladies in Kamsa's arena, even there, everybody there even appreciates how nice this is. Right. Does that make sense? So, there's distinction made because we're trying to establish ourselves connected to Krishna in Braj. Right? But we shouldn't be making too strong a distinction. Because it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, just as an example, right? The high court judge is at home, right? The interactions with his child, his wife, you know, the friends that are there. When he goes to the office, you will not see that. So you can say the judge, as, you know, a family man, never leaves his home. But it's still the same person at the court. Does that make sense? Because there's no one at the court to bring that out. But, you know what I'm saying, if his wife comes to the court, then in the court, you know, you can't be very careful. But let's say after the court, then back in his chambers, then they may interact very nicely. But he'll still look like the judge. You understand? So, in other words, there's a distinction, but there's no distinction. This element of Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, his Prabhupada is very careful to point out you can't make too much distinction between, too much distinction between Krishna in Vrindavan, or let's say Krishna and Vishnu. Because otherwise, then we start thinking this creates this duality. There's only one person. But he expands so that these different moods can be appreciated. Does this make sense? Yes.
I think Prabhupada also says that in second canto about the Chaturvyuha.
Yes.
If you look at it as different people, you miss the point.
Yes, because he's taking these different forms, but the thing is each one can do all the other aspects, because in different places it will be discussed differently. Like we always hear that Sankarsana, he expands as Mahavishnu, right? And so Mahavishnu is that, so he's Sankarsan, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is Prajumna, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu is Aniruddha. But there are also places where it describes that. No, it's okay. Where Mahavishnu is expanding from Aniruddha, right? Because the whole point is you're trying to get back to. He's the goal. In other words, Vishnu is the goal. It's not the material world. It's Vishnu is the goal. So that's that aspect, is each one of them has all the aspects of the others. But there's a particular flavor manifest because that's where you taste it. You know, it's not that each one can't do the other, but why would you? Because this, as Sankarsan, he's already doing those things. So then you can taste the other things as Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev. Does that make sense? You know, you no need to already do something twice. Does that make sense? You know, you have four people in the kitchen. One person's cooking, one person's cutting things, one person's washing pots, one person's running around and getting things. There's no need to have two people there at the same frying pan trying to cook.
Unless they're showing off.
Yeah, I mean, so they could do it, but, you know, there's no need. You know, if everyone just cuts vegetables, then, you know, who's cooking?
Wow.
You know? Yeah, you know. Does that make sense? So there's this simultaneously oneness and difference that we have to be able to appreciate. Mm-hmm. Yes. Krishna's in Dwarka, or? Okay, just Dwarka. Okay. Okay, yeah. Tallahassee.
can we say that he actually never exhibits his fully Vrindavan mood?
No.
So it's the same person. Same person. He's more
close. So therefore you say Dwarka Krishna. But it's Dwarka Krishna, not Krishna Dwarka. You know what I'm saying? It's Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. It's just the mood. So some make it too strong that you get the ideas that, you know, they're. So he may expand, so he's there physically, but at the same time as then, if he's gone to Mathura, why are they feeling separation in Vrindavan? Because he's gone to Mathura. But at the same time, he never leaves, because in his mood of that. There's a term for it, a fancy term, bhava something. It's an incarnation of his mood. So that's why everybody there is absorbed in him, because he's there in his mood, so everybody's able to remember and be absorbed in our interacting.
Okay.
At the same time, then there's also discussions where he's actually physically there. So you have a lot of things going on at once. It's just a matter of which one is being brought out at the time, because it's you don't want to lower the element of the separation, because that taste, but at the same time, it's a pastime that's going on. Does this make sense? So these things for us are just explanations so that we don't get distracted by too much of our vision here of time and space. But in reality, it's just whichever aspect one's absorbed in, it's the absorption in Krishna that's important. Right? Does that make sense? Because whether he's physically present there or not, technically it's a secondary element. Because the primary is that love for Krishna and that expression of the love. Does that make sense? The secondary is then what the devotee does to express it. Right? That's on the transcendental platform. So then that means is that the whether Krishna's physically present or not is not actually the main point. Because he's present, they will interact with them. But that interaction is the expression of the primary, which is their love. Does that make sense? So that's not the real important discussion, but sometimes we'll make it the important discussion because we're accustomed to dealing with the secondary. So we'll always make that the most prominent. But we see is that we'll see here, and there's in this part where they have the whole thing, they make up that Vrindavan.
That's in the final chapter.
That's at the end of this.
That's still Narayana's.
Okay, yes. So we'll see there is that they arrange, because Krishna's gone into such separation, thinking about the residents of Vrindavan, they create a Vrindavan. They bring, I think, Vishwakarma and have him create Vrindavan. So he makes Mother Yashoda, makes everybody, you know, all deities like that. And they take Krishna there, and he's talking to Mother Yashoda, he's going to take the cows out, and, you know, all these different things are all happening. So it's a delicate thing, is that the point is that he leaves, so he's not there, therefore there's the sense of separation. Otherwise, why is Krishna thinking, it's bad I left? Otherwise, if the prominence is, no, he's still there, then you know, if someone brings up, oh, but you left Vrindavan and everyone sat there, no, I'm still there. You know, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that the one mood is there, so when it goes to Mathura, it goes to Dwarka, he still feels he's left Vrindavan. Otherwise, why the big thing about Ratha Yatra? Or the Lord's going back to Vrindavan? You know, why the big deal that all the residents of Vrindavan go to Kurukshetra to meet the Lord? Yeah, so therefore these both are happening at once, but the prominent element is going to be that he's not there. Therefore that element of separation. You know what I'm saying? But he's there in his mood. That's how they are tasting the remembrance of him. Does that make sense? Yes.
All right, so for those who practice here, we actually never go beyond Kuvara, because we never been with Krishna, so the separation is before meeting him for the first time.
No, there's also the separation after having met, because otherwise Radharani...
Yes, but for us...
For us?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, you could say yes, like that. But you do have the element that one can go farther. It just depends upon one's surrender and all that. That one can make it up to basically the platform of prema while still in this form. Though it's rare, as Prabhupada mentions. Everyone from here goes to Gokul and then from Gokul goes to Goloka. But he says there's a rare soul that goes straight to Goloka. That's because they've already performed, been in the pastimes in Gokul while in this body. Does that make sense? So, Sarup Siddhi means that you understand who you are, you can take part in the pastimes in that, but it's by meditation. Vastu Siddhi means you're physically there. It's not through meditation anymore. Like that. So generally it would be like what you're mentioning, that one gets up to a particular point, and then one leaves this body and comes to the point of Vastu Siddhi, and that's where he takes it up to prema. That would be standard. Like that.
Yeah. Is there a similar phenomenon for Chaitanya Lila? Like, for example, when Lord Chaitanya leaves for Puri, like, his mother feels so much separation from him here. Have you heard anywhere that he's actually always performing pastimes?
It means we know he's always here performing pastimes, yeah. But it's just a matter of the manifest. In other words, the unmanifest pastimes are always going on, but what we're talking about here, what we're discussing, is the manifest pastimes. So just because the manifest pastimes are going on, doesn't mean the unmanifest aren't going on. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Because does that make sense? So you can have all this going on at one time. But the point for our focus is what's the manifest, because that's what we have a connection to. That's what can be perceived. That's what we are discussing. So when they're talking about... So this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's basically the, from what I know of, the only scripture that discusses pastimes in Goloka. All the other shastras always discuss the pastimes in Gokula, in Bomalila. Like that. It will get up to discussing those.
Or in the second part.
Yes. Yeah. Right. You understand? Because generally it's, you know, the demons come, they're killed, and this and that. There the demons come, and then Krishna catches them and does something, and it all works out very nice. You know, so it's slightly different. He goes to Mathura, and he comes back. You know, he's always going to Mathura to pay taxes, and always coming back. You know, so it's different. There's a different flavor there. But it's based on the pastimes that happen here. That's the meaning of human-like pastimes. Because it's based on here. So everybody has the mentality as if they're in the Bomalila pastime, the manifest Bomalila pastimes. But it may be going on in the unmanifest pastimes either here or there. Right? In other words, these things are... Because you're dealing with the, you know, eternal and unlimited, it's a bit beyond the intellectual capacity. But it's just mentioned so that we never think, yeah, I know the whole thing, you know, like that. You know. But it is, you know, like that. But the point is to develop that prema. That's the whole point we want to get to. Does that work? Yeah. Yes.
Is the service done by a devotee for a certain amount of time? And then a very good service, like a very intimate service, like the Jani, for instance. But after some time, he whatever falls down or change, lower his consciousness. If that can be taken as like you just mentioned, the service or the activities. What I'm trying to say with this is that it's possible for him to go straight to the Goloka?
No.
With that amount of service?
No one goes to Goloka directly. Right? Prabhupada says it's the rare soul that does. Everyone goes to Gokul. We have to be very careful to appreciate that Gokul is the spiritual world. There's this kind of concept amongst the devotees that there's something wrong with Gokul and only Goloka is where it's at. You know, it's kind of like Gokul is some second-rate kind of, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, B-grade circus or something, you know, like that.
The projects.
Yeah, the projects or something. But it's directly the same thing. Those from Goloka don't see this difference. It's only devotees here, the neophytes, they see this difference. But from Goloka, that's what's mentioned in Brahma Samhita. It's just a higher manifestation or a lower manifestation. It's exactly the same place. It's just that when it's manifest here, then there's times when we can see it. So the whole 10th canto, that we're talking about Krishna's eternal pastimes, that's happening in Gokula, not in Goloka. So there's no question of going to Goloka directly. There's no need. Why? What's the point? Everybody goes to Gokula. What I mentioned before is someone comes to the platform of prema by through meditation on the platform of bhava. Right? Then they may go directly to Goloka because they've already appeared in Gokula and performed the pastimes there. So if you remember Krishna at time of death, you go to Gokul. Is that okay?
Yeah.
is you mentioned that even in this realm,
I mentioned, Prabhupada says, here, listen to this carefully here, okay? Prabhupada said everybody goes to Gokul, and then from Gokul goes to Goloka. You might have the rare soul, rare. We're talking about, you know, millions of years, and within that, you know, one here and there. You know what I'm saying? May go Goloka. Do you understand what we're talking about here? It's not about an exceptional living entity. You know, otherwise they put it, oh yeah, only problem. These are all the things that create trouble for us. We get trouble from this. The point is that when you come to the platform of bhava, that's when you're going to take bhava up to prema. So either you've done that by physically being there, you've left this body and you've attained a Vastu city there, at the earlier stages of bhava, and then you go through the pastimes and come to the platform of prema. Or someone may be advanced and come to the platform of bhava while still in this body, and then through that meditation in bhava, he's in the pastimes, and then generally they don't. They'll then at some point leave the body and then continue in the pastimes there, then come to prema. Prabhupada's pointing out is, mathematically, you can have that rare soul who comes to the platform of prema in their meditation. So it's not for us to worry about. You know what I'm saying? There are kids who graduate from university with honors at 12 years old. There are. You know anybody? Met anybody? Heard of anybody? There are kids like that. So is that something for you to plan for your son? Your friend's sons? No. So we're just mentioning it because it's there. You know what I'm saying? There is, I forget what's the company. Maybe it's Coins, how do you say, Coinsig? Or it's Swedish.
Koenigsegg?
Yeah, Koenigsegg. They cost $5.6 million for one car. Do you know anybody who ever heard of one, seen one? Have you ever heard the name before? No, that's the whole point. But they exist. But they're not our car. When we think, you know, we're thinking Rolls or Bentley. That's $300,000, $500,000. This is $5.6 million.
Koenigsegg.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll do something like, I forget what it is.
300 miles an hour.
Yeah, they do like that. They do 400 kilometers and stuff like that. Yes, that's definitely something you'd need for getting up to Calcutta quickly, you know? Like that. What? Oh, yeah, it's on sale? I'll be there in 10 minutes.
You got some serious honking to do.
Yeah, yeah. You understand? So we're just pointing out that it's there, but it's not something that, oh, hey, yeah, you know. You understand? So the point is, as we go through there's a method, Shraddha to Prema. So it's either you're doing it there in the pastime, or you're doing it here by meditation. But doing it by meditation, that's rare. Most people get to the platform of bhava from after they leave this body. Okay? Yeah. But if you happen to be one who within this body is already in the pastimes, then okay. But that doesn't mean that you'll finish there. Yes.
The Krishna is referred to as Vasudeva Krishna.
Yes.
Is that to bring out the point that he's the origin of the elements?
That's there, but also just means that you're dealing on that level of pastime. It means you have Krishna, you have Balaram, then you have Vasudeva. So then you have that aspect of basically being the Lord. You know, being God, being Paramatma.
Opulence.
Yeah, the element of opulence is there. That's why you bring out Vasudeva Krishna. You know, so Vasudeva Krishna, Mathura Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, it's all the same kind of move. But then if you say Vrindavan Krishna, then that means there is its only sweetness. So it's only for the matter of understanding the position. Like that, because it's Vasudeva who establishes that mood. He's the lord of the Jnana Shakti. Right? So it's by his grace you're on these positions. But because everything's there in Golok, it's just the others are supporting Braj. It's not that they're not there. Just like Yoga Maya is there, and she's managing the Vrindavan pastimes. But the point is that she's Shakti. Who's the Shakti Ma? Right? Because it's not going to be Krishna. Because Krishna is the consort of Radharani. So he's not going to have that mood with Mahamaya. I mean, or Yogamaya. So who's going to be the Lord there? You understand? So that means there has to be the transformation of Krishna. So, therefore, that aspect of Sada Shiva is there in Vrindavan, but it's not a prominent aspect. You understand? So she's there, because when Rupa Goswami, I think in his invocation in is it Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava in these plays, then Shiva's mentioned. Because he's there, he's guarding the Dham, he's doing all these different things, but he's not prominent in the pastimes. His energy is, but he's not. Like that. So everything is there, but it's all in its place. It doesn't take such promise. But when you come down to the material world, the proportions change. So then there's a greater prominence of other personalities in that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're okay? Good. Yes.
So now that when we discuss this different Krishna, can we say love of Godhead is the primary subtopics?
Yes.
And to apply to that Krishna or that Krishna can be secondary?
But the point is that primary means a particular love for a particular aspect of Krishna. In other words, it's the love that drives the expression of it. Does that make sense? So as Mother just showed us, love for Krishna is as Vrindavan Krishna. Right? But Devaki's love for Krishna is as Dwarka Krishna. Does that make sense? So there's the fineness, it's the mood. Just like the various other barristers and lawyers and judges, they know and like the high court judge as the judge. And there's possibly none of them know him as the family man. Right? There may be one or two that they went to school together. They know him. They go out playing golf together or something, you know. But you know what I'm saying? So they know that aspect. So that's the there. So here it's one man. He can be at home or he can be at the office, right? But Krishna can do both at once. So when he's at home, that's Braja Krishna. When he's at the office, that's Dwarka Krishna, right? So that's Krishna and Vasudeva. Right? So that's how it works. He does both at once. So he never leaves. But at the same time, in the pastime, he's leaving. So you have that they're going on simultaneously. At the same time, you have that he can move through these, and there's that sense of separation. Otherwise, why is it mentioned when he's in Hastinapur, he's not in Dwarka? And so the only reason Kunti lets him go is because she knows how bad she feels when he's not there. So what about those who always live with him? Right? Because they sometimes live with them, and she feels so bad the separation. Now, what about those who always live with them? Right? Because generally it's looked at, oh, he's always there, so you know we're only asking for this much time. Right? So therefore, we should get first, because because we never get to see. But the point is the feeling of separation is greater for those who are always around than those who are not as much around. Does that make sense? Right, so therefore she considers, then I should let him go because he's been here a long time. I think he was here 9 months, right? Then They say then go back, because otherwise they'll be feeling separation in Dwarka. So we have to be able to accommodate that these things are going on simultaneously. At the same time, they can be different. That's the Chinta Beta Beta Tata. This is what we can deal with. Right? They don't have to worry about that. In Vaikuntha, Vishnu is sitting there on his in his court, and the devotees come and see him every day. Okay, now there's going to be when court ends at night and all that, and he goes to sleep, everyone else goes to sleep, then you have to wait till the morning. Okay, that they can, but you don't have where there's all these other things happening at once. You know what I'm saying? He's in Vaikuntha, or he comes, he incarnates here. You know, but he's still, you know, they don't have these, all these subtleties overlapping. So that's what we're able to deal with. But it's not so much for an intellectual point, it's just a matter of being able to distinguish what is the most important element. What is the, in other words, what Sanatana Goswami is doing here. What is the highest realm? What is the highest devotional sentiment? Right? So therefore, what are those devotees that have that? Because you've established the realm, then you establish the devotees within that. Right? So then it's complete. Then you know exactly what's there. You know, if you want to get off earlier, then that's just like when you're going to Calcutta, the bus driver really doesn't care if you get off and run it off. Right? You know, like that. You know, if you're feeling separation, that, you know, 5.5 million people, you kind of need that association. You get off and run a god, right? Like that. You know? Like that. You know, if 20 million is a bit too much for you, then... You know, that's the whole Scandinavia, all in one place.
Yeah, the whole of Australia too.
Yeah, the whole of Australia. Yeah,
that's a big place.
Yeah, yeah. The whole of Australia airs raw.
Well,
right?
Is it Krishna manifests his certain moods according to the moods of the devotees?
Yes. Yes.
So the specialness of the
is actually the devotees. Yeah, because that's why you've established the Dham, but you have to establish the devotee. Because the devotee is what makes the Dham. Right? Because if you have Radharani, then you have Vrindavan. But if you have Vrindavan, there's no Radharani, you technically don't have Vrindavan. So that's the whole thing. It's about the devotee. The place supports that. Right? In other words, all these things are there to support that affection, right? Then there's the mechanics of those interactions. Then there's that basis that, okay, this is in sweetness or this is in majesty.
So is it that the specifics of that Dham perfectly manifest to match the mood of the devotee?
Yes, yes. In other words, Braj perfectly matches Radharani's mood.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, so it's all that, because all that is there just to fulfill. But the point is then it's complete, because the point is Radha and Krishna are together. If they're always together, then that's not going to be as nice as if they're together sometimes and sometimes not. So to be together and sometimes not together, then there must be reasons for that. So then you have to have houses and families and community and social rules and etiquette and duties and all these things that are going to generate all that. And then all the different tastes and how they come together and this and that. And because this is Adi Ras, all Rasas are in this, then you also pick that apart. So all five are there, and parental is four is there, and friendship three, servitorship two, neutrality one. So then all those are also there, so you taste all the full aspect. Then that's all the full aspect connected with sweetness. Then you get those five connected with majesty. But you increase the majesty too much, then you only end up with two. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
How do we understand this one pastime you spoke about in Kurukshetra during the eclipse? Radharani,
yes,
herself laments that,
yes,
she's hankering for those pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna,
yes,
to the Yamuna at night in Vrindavan.
Yes.
And that same kind of interaction with Krishna can develop in Kurukshetra. So would this suggest that the place also is very, you know, primal or primary.
Yes, because it supports.
Yeah.
But it's still a support.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is even in Vrindavan, if you're in Mother Jashoda's house, can Radharani interact with Krishna? No. Like that. So it's the same thing. The place is designed to bring out the pastimes. But in Kurukshetra, there isn't. There is no bank of the Jamuna. There is no like that. There's only camps and tents and armies. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's enough they can all come and see, but they're all there together as a group. So, you know, where are you going to sneak off to? You know, it's just not the right place because it's not their place. So therefore, there's that element of the separation. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
At the same time as these eternal pastimes are going on, but which pastime is going on in which place, that's another thing because there's so many manifestations. That makes sense. So at this time, this is the method. Separation is there. You know what I'm saying? Wow, that is a big mosquito. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. Why not? Means you want to know if there's a. You want to. So you're worried that the taxi driver doesn't know where he's going or something. So when you get in the taxi, you say, "Go look." The driver says, "Hey," and then takes you to Calcutta or something. So what are you worried about?
Who is
guiding? Guiding means you're going to walk there, or?
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
The point is, it's just yoga maya arranges. You're there. So it's not, because for them, you're not talking, there's no problem of time and space. Yoga maya arranges. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you don't really recognize how you get there.
Do you care? You know what I'm saying? It's just like that. If someone's in prison and they're getting out, do they really care about which way they walked and, you know, where they sat and this and that? They're just focused on getting out. They're happy. So who cares? See, this is where you start your question. You understand? When you want to ask a question here, you start with, I have heard that this, 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 this. And you've explained like this. What's the difference? Otherwise, you're throwing out something. There's no context. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I'm just showing so that when you ask, we don't go through this whole... Because in this class, it's not about going through... And, you know, the whole, it's not about the process of the asking the question, it's about actually dealing with the question. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, what you're going to say now, this is where you start. Okay? Then it works better. Okay? So
the jiva could see the heavenly planets and everything. And if there is still material desires, then jiva gets
right. Yeah. So, you want to know a name here? You know, is it going to be Boris what are you looking for here? What do you care? I mean, what do you mean by how is the jiva getting there? I know it's just a question, but as we mentioned before, a jigyasu question is not of really much value. It's just, it's interesting. Well, you know, means you know, how do we go? Okay, we go by chariot. Well, what color's the chariot? How big is it? You know, what kind of seat? Do I get a first class seat? Can I recline fully back, or do I have to just sit there? You know, will meals be served? Do I have to pay? Are they free? You know, I'm saying, what's the point? It's just like this. Let us say, the boy meets the girl. The boy gives the girl a flower. Does she ask what shop he bought it in? You know, does she ask how much it cost? Did you pay in cash or by credit card? What kind of credit card do you use? Do you use Visa? Do you use American Express? Do you use, you know, MasterCard? You know, like that? You know, did that give you extra points for staying in hotels and all that? That's later. you understand? All she cares about is he's given a flower because of affection. Does this make sense? The concept of rasa doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you have to ask a very specific question. See, throwing out these what do you call it, like a dragnet questions, you know? You just throw out this huge net that anything you could catch would be interesting to listen to. But we have a very specific topic here. So that kind of question, that's a general question and answer. Then that's a great question because you could go on for a long time. Everyone will have questions and go. But this is, what about this point here about how Krishna is in Vrindavan and about the glories of Mathura giving prema, does this question connect to? Does that make sense? Yes, but then ask exact question. Because I'm still trying to ask, what are you wanting to know? Because I give you an answer, no, but what about, it said, you know, there's people, they'll take you. Do you need to know names? You want to know, you know, do they have little badges? Or, you know, what is it that you're wanting to know? And if it's just, well, I want to know the whole thing, then this is the wrong forum. Does that make sense? Yes. So, you're trying to ask, how do we go there? So all these things are shown if there are desires. But once it's there, then you come to the place and you're part of that place. You know what I'm saying? Because once you get there, you don't care how you got there. But going there, then there's just seeing as if you're interested in anything else in this world. So both of the things are happening. One is to check if there's something else you want from this world other than Krishna. And if you don't want anything else, then you're part of the pastimes. But then it's a matter of how intensely is your desire to know Krishna. Then you move forward. Right? So then you quickly develop love for Krishna or more slowly develop love for Krishna. But that's happening in Gokula. Does that make sense? Because we're working on time and space, but in these things there's not time and space. Because Goloka is extended to here. And so it's here. So that means to get there, because it's beyond here, you have to leave the universe. Therefore, you see all these things. But at the same time, it's here. See, that's where the problem comes in. Because we want this definitive, no, it's here, and we go from point A to point B, and then like that, we change trains, and then like that, then we get on the bullet train, it's quicker, like that, but then we slow down at the stations for Indra's place and Brahma's place. And does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Okay. Yes, but the technical, see, you have to catch the mood first, otherwise the technical means nothing. Yes, in other words, if you don't catch the concept of cooking, I can show you all kinds of technique, it won't mean anything to you. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that catch the cooking part, then the technique, that will fall into place very easily. But if you try to approach it from technique, it's not going to work. Does that make sense? It's a slow path that way. It takes about 3 years. Yes.
There's a statement in the CC that Vrindavan is all pervading.
Is all pervading, yeah. Because it's everywhere. Because it's everything. Everything's expanding from it, so it's all got to be, it has to be everywhere. So that's the thing, is there's all these things going on once, because you're dealing with Krishna, he's God. So all these things are happening at once. But at the same time, is then there's rasa, where we're all involved and all interacting. Right? So you get both of these happening at once. So, depending upon the situation that you're bringing out, then you bring out one of these aspects. But the difficulty is, don't get too involved in these technicalities if you can't synthesize them. Otherwise, then one gets into, well, what, there's this and there's that. No, they're all one thing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's on the intellectual platform, there's wild stuff that we're dealing with. But on the platform of affection, then it's not a problem at all. You know what I'm saying? The wife has great affection for the husband, right? But he said something stupid. She's not making dinner. Those two are contradictory. But what's the point? What's the actual essence? The affection. But if you look at it from the external, then they don't make sense. So that's the whole difficulty. You know, so if you look at it from the affection, it's because of affection, therefore she's upset. Because if there was no affection, why would she care? Somebody makes a stupid comment, who cares? Like that. But because there's affection, then there's care. Therefore, then there's some, you know, disciplinary action. repercussions. Yes. Right? But at the same time, it's not that he's not going to eat, because the husband belonged to the wife, then she's going to take care of the husband. Right? But because of this dealing, he's going to take care of on her terms. Right? Because he's not deserving consideration on his own terms. You understand? So you have all these things happening at once. So that's the difficulty. But if you understand that element of affection, then the whole thing fits together. But if you don't, you try to approach it from the outside, you know, then you come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful things.
Yes.
Something else, or? No? Oh, no, I was just saying that. I thought I saw another hand before. But no? Oh, you. Okay.
Now, here, when we're talking about the bhav,
the where are you from? No, where are you from? I didn't say where you're at. Okay. So now here is the thing: what is your where is your ancestral home of your conditioned ethnic background?
So this is why I did not answer. I'm just thinking about the question: where I'm from. So.
Okay, this is not something out of Bhagavatam here, where we're discussing amongst the sage in the 11th canto. Give me a city. Where are your relatives?
I'm born in Jharkhand.
Jharkhand, okay. And your family is in Jharkhand. Okay, so that's the answer. Easy. Okay.
I was
just trying to figure out if you're a Bengali or not.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
So
you don't need an emotional answer then.
No.
Okay, good. Okay.
I was containing it, but I thought it's important to ask now. So definitely it goes more into the rust part when you're talking. When we are talking about the jeev is a part and parcel of the God, and it's like the sun and the sunlight, when we differentiate it, would it be easier, like the example you gave right away, when you just try and believe, as other, you know, religious group talks about, that when we think that God is inside us, what we say here is it's a part and parcel of God. You know, it's like the sun and the sunlight. So when we are talking about the bhav, the rasa, what if we think that
the God is inside us and makes it easier for us to understand, and then we take it on from here.
See,
express my question.
Yes, no, that's fine. See, it's what you have to understand is you're sitting in on a class that's been going on. This is the fifth year. So what you're talking about, we did in the first year. You understand? And in the second year, you deal with it. The third year, you deal with it more lightly. But from the fourth year, where we get the Bhagavatam, we don't really deal with that because it's been dealt with. Right? Does that make sense? So, I'm not going to present to this group from that platform. If I was talking with some people outside, yes, you would start with that. God's all-pervading, God's everywhere, God's in your heart. But that's for someone who's new to this topic. Right? You understand?
Given earlier classes what I've been attending at other places, why I'm asking you this, I know it's been going on here for like 5 years now, but it's very important when Mataji asked this question. But
the point is, see, technically speaking, see, there's this row here. These are the students. But the class is open that anybody can come and hear. But what we're going to discuss is what's going on here. That's why you'll notice if someone in the front row is raising their hand, they get called first. Then after that, we go out. You understand? See, in most universities, if you're not a registered student, you can't attend. If you can attend, you can't ask questions. So we're just trying to give, in case there's something. But you can't say that I'm going to run the class on first year explanations just because every new people come all the time. Do you understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. We try to accommodate. But you can't say that this would be a better way to answer. Because then the problem is, see, if, I don't know if you've been that you were observing about her, but did you also observe everybody here? That it's kind of like, okay, here we go into tangents again because who's asking questions doesn't know what we're talking about. Did you catch that look also? Okay, so that's the whole point is we're trying to accommodate because at open assembly, if someone has a good question, great. But the point is we're talking about the mood between Krishna and the devotees, that bhav. But the questions for the last 1 hour have been on the externals of physical location and locality and moralism and mundane perspectives. Does that make sense? So if you're addressing an audience like that, that's the core audience, then like what you're saying, that's a very good point. But her point is also, it's not about Paramatma, because it's the associates of the Lord, they're going to take you. It's not the Paramatma's taking you. Because I already gave the direct answer, Yoga Maya is going to make the arrangement, but that wasn't satisfying. The front line here, okay, Yoga Maya arranges it. She can manage, she's managing the whole universe. You're a blade of grass exactly where you should be. Each blade of grass out there is exactly where it's supposed to be. Like there's blades of grass underneath that pile of bricks. They're not going to see sun for 6 months. Why are they there? Because that's what they're supposed to get. You know what I'm saying? They could have put that pile of bricks a little bit this way or that way, but they didn't. They put it exactly there. So all the blades of grass that are supposed to sit under that pile of bricks for 6 months, they took their appearance there. And who did arrange that? That's Maya arranged that. So now if she can do that, why can't she get you from wherever you die to Gokula? So it's answered. But that answer doesn't work. Why not? Because the external points of it, the secondary aspects are where the interest is. Mother Yashoda, out of her affection, cooked lunch for Krishna. What did she cook? Oh, she cooked Shukta Shakti Pad. What kind of spinach? What spicing did she use? But it's not about Mother Yashoda's bhav. It's about the secondary. That's why we opened yesterday with starting with this primary and secondary, so we'd be very careful not to make these prominent. You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? Okay. Yes. Oh. Okay. Does that make sense? So we're trying to, so devotees can come, take part here, and everything like that. But it doesn't mean that we adjust. It means now this is the smaller group, so this is the more serious. Right? But in the morning, there's two times, three times this. But we still don't adjust it. Does that make sense? Right? Otherwise, the alternative is, if you're not a registered student, you can't come. That's the alternative. And if you haven't turned in the essays for the year that we're working on, you can't ask, or the previous year, you can't ask questions. Now that would be standard university policy. Shall we do that? That means you could not have asked your question. You understand? Yes? No? Okay. Okay. Verse 6. Did I say that? Yes. Is this still invocation? First 11 verses are the invocation. So that's what he's saying. He's pointing out, here's the Prayojana, as hints at Prayojana. He hints at this because he's showing the whole thing of the whole discussion. Right? And so, the boss.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So this brings out all the different elements and aspects of what's happening here. It's in these 11 verses. So as we said, because the Goswamis, when they write, then they're much more poetic about it, like that. And so then they'll bring out finer details, they'll give bigger, and how they'll put it all together will be very, very nice and very sweet. So that'll make it very, you know, that's what makes it unique. Otherwise, you see in other shastras, they're very cut and dry, exact, like that. You know, the invocation is one verse. It's one verse. You know, and they work on it really hard to get everything in there. Every syllable exactly does what it should, and so then everything's there perfectly. But here the Goswamis do that, but extend it so that there's all these other aspects of sweetness. Is that okay? Yeah. 6. All glories to Sri Jamuna, the daughter of the sun god and sister of Yamaraj. She is beloved of Krishna, the killer of Mura. She has made friends with Mathura district and has exceeded the greatness of Ganga Devi. On the pretext of being a river, she carries the nectar flowing from Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet. Right here, Yamuna, the holiest of rivers, is the ornament of Sri Vrindavan Dham. She is the greatest of all holy bathing sites, exceeding in sanctity the Ganga, as Lord Varaha describes in the Varaha Purana, 152:30-31. 100 times more sacred than the Ganga, O goddess Earth, is the Jamuna in my own abode, Mathura. No one need doubt this. More sacred than Mathura by 100 times is the place on the Jamuna where the Keshi demon fell. And 100 times more sacred than that Keshi Tirtha is the spot nearby where Krishna rested after the demon was killed. Anyone know where he rested? I never heard of that. Where Krishna rested after he killed Keshi demon. Because that's 100 times more sacred than Keshi God itself. Unless Keshi God includes the whole thing. Maybe it's why is the river Jamuna so exceptional? because she is especially dear to Sri Krishna. She assists in his pastimes in Goloka, in Mathura, and even in Dwarka. She originates from the lotus feet of Krishna, and so, on the pretext of carrying a current of water, she distributes the honey of intimate Krishna devotion. Right? So she's a friend of Mathura because she goes through Mathura. Like that. Because whoever is, you know, together, then they're friends. So her mood is, see, is that Ganga Devi has touched the lotus feet of Trivikram. Right? So that's what makes her special. But here in the Jamuna, the Krishna himself is bathing and having pastime. So the original personality of Godhead is taking baths. So that means it's greater than the other aspect of the Ganga. Right? So therefore, when there was the discussion, I think in Delhi, right, with Akbar and the pundits, so what river is greater? Because Delhi's there, and one side is Jamuna, while the other side is Ganga. So which is the greater of the two? So the pundits were saying Ganga, some were saying Jamuna. So they didn't know. So then it was they brought Rupa Goswami. So then he said, no, the Jamuna is because is Krishna had his pastimes there. Like that. So that's what's special. Right? And then amongst the Gaudiyas, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radharani, then where he's bathed, and that part of the Ganga is then of the same caliber. Right? But the rest of the Ganga has the nature of the Ganga itself. But also it's understood as from Prayag, one side is Ganga, the other side is Yamuna, because they've come together. Yes.
Recently there's a lot of prioritization. Cleaning Ganga, cleaning Yamuna at the political level. So how concerned should devotees be about rendering service to Ganga, rendering service to Yamuna by cleaning the pollution?
Means what does it mean by cleaning pollution?
By stopping the waste, the dumping of sewage.
I mean, if they can, but they have to understand is that it's not that technically you're rendering service to Yamuna Devi by seeing that people are dealing with her properly. But the original Jamuna is flowing through there quite nicely, and Krishna and the gopis are still going there and bathing in that and having their pastimes. But what we see, that may be effective. But that's because that's our vision. Right? So it's one of those things, if you can do something nice, but you shouldn't not be chanting and doing other things and be getting too distracted. You know what I'm saying? In other words, say you're trying to do seva to Jamuna by doing this, nice. But don't claim that, you know, the Jamuna's not here and, you know, Jamuna's polluted. Don't say those things because that never actually happens. It's just like that story. I think it was, may have been, I'm not sure where, North Bengal or Assam or someplace, where the British, you know, whoever was the authority in the area, he went, I guess, he came and he heard about this, some temple or something was very special or something. He went there and he walked inside and then he noticed that behind him there were all these, you know, pujaris were wiping the floor because he had his shoes on. So he got insulted. So he went back, got his army and then brought his cannons and destroyed the temple. You know, the temple, the deity, everything. So then disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ask him, says, how could if that's Krishna, how could they destroy it? He simply says, no, all that was destroyed was your material concept of the deity. The deity is always there. Like Kurabha Man's Lundanishwara. What does that mean? It means there's always a deity there that's the lord of that area. And just now he's manifest where you can see him. Right? You know. Parasishwar, you know, like that. So, does that make sense? It doesn't seem to be a Hagen Ishwar, but.
No, that's why it's in that state.
Yeah, like that. You know. Does that make sense? So, therefore, our material concept of the Jamuna is polluted. But we can render service by trying to do something nice in that, but we should never think that the Jamuna herself is polluted. She could get rid of all that. She could take care of all these things. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be very careful that the sentiment doesn't go too much over, too prominent. Right? It's not that the gopis have decided, you know, only to, you know, have Rasa dance at Govardhan because the Jhumna is too polluted to have, you know. No, the eternal pastimes are going on anyway. You know, just like here, the Navadvip, there's 9 islands. What does that mean? That means there's all those rivers. Right, we hear when we were Jivadharma that they're crossing the Alakananda. So previously you could see all the rivers, but now you can't. Right, Alakananda, sometimes in rainy season you can see where it is, but before it was there. You know, so now we just know Jalangi and Ganga, but there's all those rivers. Is that? Yeah. Does that make sense? We have to be able to accommodate these two things at once. You know, and be able to balance. If it's something one can do, one can go to Delhi, talk to some people, and they'll deal nicely, then it makes our understanding of it nicer. Like, I think when Prabhupada first brought the devotees to Vrindavan, then Hayagriva wrote an article on Vrindavan. And in there he's mentioning about the pigs and then snorting through the, you know, the waste and all that. Prabhupada said this is an absolutely useless article. Because that's not Vrindavan. That's what he sees. But it's kind of like, why bring him there if that's all he's going to see? He's not appreciating this is Vrindavan. He's only worried about pigs and garbage. You know? So, does that make sense? Yeah. So, it's just like, you know, how you say. You have the cities of the world, right? So New York's known for its mood, right? Los Angeles, a different mood. Paris, a different mood. London, a different mood. Tokyo, right? But now, how much of the city is manifesting that mood? Not necessarily all of it, but there are parts of it that does, and that's what the city's famous for. And so others don't appreciate the city because they see all the other aspects. Right? So it's the mood that's more important than the... Is that something? So on the spiritual plane, it's the mood that's there. And so that Prauda Maya that covers the Dham, then she may come up with all these nice things so that we can get distracted and think it's not the spiritual world. Is that? Yeah. It's just like we were walking, I forget where we were. We were walking through, I think, a part of Govardhan or something. And I mentioned that, you know, when you go down from the temple down the old Jamuna path towards Madan Mohan, as you're going, then maybe this won't even mean anything for any of you. Okay, you're going down there, and at one point, you come to the place where... this is not going to mean anything. Oh, well, there was a space along there that was a little bit more developed than the other parts of the back there. And you had all these canals coming in and everything like that, and a tree and other things like that. As you were walking along that road, and I mentioned to Govindamars, I said, says, this looks exactly like that place. He just kind of smiled, said nothing. I was wondering why he didn't say anything. You know, why, you know, okay, you know. He's meditated, wants to chant, like that. So then, you know, we went, you know, finished the parikram. Then some days later, we were doing Vrindavan parikram. We came to that spot. Now I knew why he didn't say anything. You couldn't recognize the place. It turned into this huge road and shops and this and that, and you wouldn't even know what it was. So I was saying that this other place that used to be so much more underdeveloped, you know, as far as, you know, shops and all that, had come up to that point. So I said, oh, it looked like this. And his point was, you should see what that place looks like. You know?
Now the story doesn't make sense because both places look completely different.
Yeah, but it also doesn't make sense because I don't know if anybody, I can't explain what's there because it's not there anymore.
No, exactly.
And so if I said, you know, that place that looked like that, it doesn't look like that anymore. So it's hard to, you know, how do you explain it? immensely. So that's the whole thing. The externals may change, but actually the nature of the place doesn't. So someone who can appreciate it can still gain that mood. Does this make sense? So, on the pretext of carrying the current of water, she's actually carrying the nectar of the honey of Krishna's intimate devotion. So therefore, that respect and everything can be there. So the point is one can work to clean the Jamuna, then that's Dham Seva, or Jamuna Seva. But one shouldn't say that technically she's polluted. Because how do you pollute something that's transcendental?
I'm saving the Jamuna.
Yeah, I'm saving the Jamuna, you know, what are you doing about it? You know, all this, that sense of, when am I the doer anyway? I can come and render some service. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, it's a nice thing to be able to do. You know, it's just like that's part of Dham Seva, is beautifying the Dham, making it nice and all that. So that's that. And see all along, before the old Jamuna bank, you have all these ghats and places that people did before. They rendered Dham Seva by building nice places, beautifying, making it wonderful. Like that. So that you can do. But it's not that I've made the Dham more beautiful. No, I've rendered service. And then the Dham manifests so that we can see, we can appreciate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Seven. All glories to Govardhan, the emperor of lordly mountains. The Lord's dear gopis called him the best servant of Hari, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna disrupted the sacrifice for worship of Indra to worship Govardhan instead. And then the hill resided for a week on the Lord's lotus palm. Sri Govardhan serves Krishna in unlimited intimate ways. He pleases Krishna so much that the gopis of Braja single him out for praise. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best, Hari Dasa Varyo. O friends, for Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, this hill supplies all necessities. Caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables, water for drinking, and very soft grass. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.18. Govardhan Hill is also the site of Sri Radhakund. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kunda, lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, render loving service to the divine couple, Shishi Radha Govinda, perform their Astakaliya Leela, the eternal eightfold daily pastimes, Nectar of Instruction 10. Right, so what we were saying before is the nectar, the structure is just giving the essence of the nectar devotion, but in 11 verses. So we see as we're starting off with the controlling of the senses, that will then put you solidly on the devotional platform. Then, you know, that's then from there how devotees interact and how not to look at the mundane aspects of devotees. And then from there, then it goes like this until we're already at Radhakund. Right, so it's just giving that essential. Yeah, yeah, like that. So that's the whole point, is that that's what we're meaning. If some will say the Ganga is polluted, but the Ganga actually produces that foam and mud. Like that. She makes that. You know, it's just part of what she does. Like that. You can give all kinds of scientific reasons as that, but that's what she does. So that's her arrangement. So it's just, you know, those who are transcendental don't worry about it. Those who aren't, then they get worried about it. Because it's said that water that has bubbles and foam is impure because it's been sitting too long, it's gone bad. So some people, by seeing that, then wouldn't bathe in the Ganga, right? So persons who would see like that, better they don't bathe in the Ganga, because she doesn't actually want to, you know, take on their sins. You know, like in Shantipur, she's moved a long way away from. She used to be right next to our Dvaitacharya's house. You've been to his place? It's high. And then just at the back, it drops right down. That's where she used to be. Right? Because he used to sit, I'd go out at his house and sit on the bank of the Ganga and do his puja to Shaligram to call Lord Chaitanya. So it's right there. Right? But since that time, she's moved quite a few kilometers away. right? Just the, only the really sincere people from Shandipur would go and bathe there. Otherwise, you know, they're known for, how you say, fine cloth and Vaishnava opera. Right? These are their famous. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said.
Isn't it also that she's moved much closer to here?
Yeah, well, you, and at which spot is she the closest? No, but which specific? Where Prabhupada Samadhi is. Yeah, so it says she moves as she likes. When I came here, she was on the... if you look across, there's a tree line way far away in Navadvip. That's where she was. So where the, all that sand is next to Navadvip, that's where she was. And where she is now, you had to walk. It was from the front grade, it was a 10-minute walk to get to the Ganga. Like that. But then, you know, since the preaching that, then she shifted over this way. You know, would have washed away a few other things, but the local panchayat put enough rocks to save them.
But
yes. Okay. Just something more. Not really sure. Okay. So Govardhan will come up later. When Narad Muni speaks, visits Svargalok and Indra recollects the Govardhan Puja Leela. Okay. So in other words, bringing out all these things. So Govardhan is the highest place. Radharani is the highest devotee. So he's already answered it because it's an invocation. You have to you give a concept of what's in the book. Others will just give the topic, but the acharyas will expand it more. So they give more special kind of elements. Okay. 8. Where's this footnote? Ah, here it is. Coming. All glories to Sri Krishna, Prema Bhakti. Knowing that the feet of Prema Bhakti secretly comprise all the truths of the Vedas, liberation herself has come to worship her. Indeed, liberation, abandoned by the Vaishnavas, has now given up her dependence on mantras, penance, sacrifice, and renunciation. Japa, yajna, tapasya, nyasa, nishtam, vihaya, and is eager to have taken shelter of Prema Bhakti. Footnote 3. Mukti Devi's subordination to Bhakti Devi is also mentioned in this verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur. If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think liberation stands at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me. Krishna Karinamrita, verse 107. Okay. Why in this verse does Mukti Devi give up her dependence, nishtam, on religious practice, enjoined by Varnashram? Narad Muni explains to King Prachinabarhishat as follows. King Prachinabarhi as follows. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.15. Srila Prabhupada elaborates in his purport. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee, and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Right? It begins there. So what does that mean? That's by this morning's discussion. That's not even civilization. Yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one's becoming liberated from the Varnashram Dharma. But that doesn't mean that you're liberated from Varnashram Dharma, you drop down to the platform of Pranamoya, and then claim that now we're transcendental. You have to go up, not down. Right? Yes.
Can we say that if you understand it, it's not important. If you don't understand it, it's important.
Yes, that's the whole point. In other words, if you're detached, it's not important. If you're attached, it's important. If you're saying, I'm a Westerner, that means you're attached. It's important. You don't have the right to say we don't have to follow it. We're devotees because you're attached. Because you say we're devotees, but at the same time you say we're Westerners. You can't, those two go together. So you're attached. So the only way to elevate yourself is to perform the duties of varnashram. But the point is this. The activities, the basic activities, what's given up is the karma aspects of varnashram. So in other words, there's aspects of varnashram that are just general culture that everybody follows. That continues. But something specifically, you know, like a putra kamesha yagya, we don't do because, you know, because we have a material desire. Right? But the standard thing of performing samskaras and these things, you can say, no, we're devotees. Why do we have to perform samskaras? But if we're taking that, if we're devotees and we're not, why are we married? Why are we having children? Why there's a house? Why aren't we living under a tree? Right? When Prabhupada built the long building, we had the lotus building, built the long building. You know, devotees were there, so, you know, it catches attention that the journalists from Calcutta, they came out and said, so, Swamiji, you know, for a spiritual movement, why all these buildings and everything? Prabhupada just looked at the person and said, if Bhaktivedanta Swami was sitting down under a tree next to the Ganga, would you be sitting here talking to me? Says no. So it's because we have all this, therefore you've come out here. And now you're asking this question. Yeah. Like that. So he built it because the Western devotees could relate to that. You know, sitting under trees doesn't really work for them. Right? Even if they go out camping, then they have their 4x4 muscle truck, they got their tent, they got their, you know, all their lamps, they got their, you know, kills mosquitoes for half a kilometer spray, you know, they've got their, you know, gas oven, you know, stoves, you know, it's the whole thing out there already. Yeah, but really? Wow, that's a new thing. Okay, so they got the TV? Yeah, I'm still out of date here.
You can get auto campers that have another car inside it.
Really?
Yeah, you can park a car inside the auto camper.
I used to think of that a long time ago. You take the thing, you drive around, and you get that one out, and you go around town, and you go back in, and keep traveling. Okay. It's happening, okay. Okay. Now, where did we get to from? Where did we still? How did we get there? The rocks keep changing each time. I mean, it's not bad. Variety is. Okay. Okay. Yeah, but it was about varnashram that came up there. It's so. Okay. He speaks clearly about one becoming liberated from the varnashram dharma, right? Because, okay. What was it? Oh, here, we said, okay. At that time, he takes the faith, loses faith in material civilization. So in other words, if you're having faith in varnashram because of its of the rules it has, that's what's going to go. Because we have to follow varnashram, this is, no. Why do we follow varnashram? Only because that's what's used in Krishna's service. So in other words, varnashram is just the culture we use, but it's not the varnashram itself has its own potency and benefits. Does that make sense? So the followers, Lord Chaitanya himself and his followers all followed varnashram, but only in as much as it supported devotional service.
Secondary.
Yes, it's considered secondary, yes.
So that would also destroy the argument that we're devotees, we don't have to follow, because if you're identifying as a devotee, then what's the problem with following? Why is that a problem for you?
Yeah. It's like, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, is that you have to follow the rules of varnashram because you're conditioned, but when you're liberated, then what's the problem in following them anyway? Because then it sets a nice example and everything. Because, you know, in other words, you're liberated, you don't have to follow them, but you do. You know, yes.
It is also from Bhagavatam that this is the culture of the spiritual world.
Yes.
Vaishyasade, Kingsade, Brahmasade.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's there. But on its own, because there'll be those that, no, only when we're following varnashram, then we can really preach, and then we can really this and that, and then there's others that, no, until we get rid of all this varnashram, then we can really, it's all, you know, it's on and on and on about all these externals. But the real point is that devotional service is beyond all this, so it's useful. You know, it's just like if a good cook has a good kitchen or not, they can still cook good. Like that.
But
so,
he will have a good kitchen.
He'll have a good kitchen because it's so supportive of good cooking. but there was, I heard of a show where this one of these top professional cooks, he would go into a supermarket and he'd walk up to some lady pushing her little cart, picking up things for, you know, taking home. And he would go up and say, you know, I'll come to your house and whatever you have in here is what I'm going to use to cook. He doesn't, you know, it's not a matter of put in a few more things. No, it's just what she has in the car. Cook. You know, if they agree, you know, if they know who he is or this or that, sometimes they don't agree. But, you know, if they agree, then he goes to the house and then whatever that is. Because his whole point is showing to anybody in any kitchen with anything, you can cook nicely, you can improve the quality of your food. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, because the principle is there. The secondary is supportive. Yeah. I'm sure that there is a little bit of editing on some of these things, and they find out. Probably he takes a look first, then he asks. Otherwise, he looks and just hi. You know, there's, I'm sure that there are some elements of like that. You know. Yeah, you could probably come with some weird. It's got chocolate and mustard. He probably throws in whatever's in her house, you know, like that, you know, to expand on, you know, just in case she hasn't got any salt in there. That's whatever. But, you know, the principle is there. So this is the whole difficulty. We say, okay, which begins with Varnashram. So then that's where we give up. But the point is no, you're giving up that's what makes devotional service. That's why Rupa Goswami makes the point is Dasyam does not mean Varnashram. Because otherwise that's commonly thought. Dasyam means following the rules of Varnashram, engaging them in the Lord's service. Like that. But for us, that's not what it means. Shri's mud was yes, but for us, no. And even they, you get to the point where they give that up. But they don't talk about it at all. And if you go and do a lecture at their place, you don't talk about it at all. You know, because otherwise they'll pull you to the side and say, we don't talk about that. That's secret. You know, so what they call secret is where we start talking. You know, we make devotees by talking about surrendering everything and all.
Changing their practice.
No. Yeah. So here is okay. And loses faith in material situation which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Means if it's not Varnashram Dharma, it's not actually material civilization. Material, yes. Civilization, no. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one's becoming liberated from the Varnashram system. The most exalted system of human civilization. At such time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, right? Not a member of Varnashram. But as a servant, you have to identify somewhere so you can function socially. Right? Therefore, then, you know, like Nandababa, he's a cowherd person. They do their occupation. They pay their taxes to the kings of Mathura. Right? So then you have something you can work with. If Krishna is not a cowherd boy, how does he take the cowherd cows out? How does he go play with the cowherd boy? How does he sneak off and go to the gopis? Right? If he was working on the internet from home, how does he sneak out and go, you know, oh, I need a new router, you know? And so then he goes, sneaks off and, you know, and every day mother shows thinking, boy, you need a lot of technical stuff here every day, you know? Yeah, you know, not so good, you know. You understand? So therefore, then it's his occupation. He goes out, then he can do all these things. Right? Okay. At such time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna. A position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-15, purport. Right? But we see is even though he's taken that position, he's still always identified. Okay. What is Lord Chaitanya's, let's say in the Madhya Leela, let's say in Adi Leela, what is his Varna? Lord Chaitanya's. Brahman. Okay. And what is his ashram? Grihastha. Madhya Lila, what is his ashram? Sannyasi. Okay. So, and then what's, does any problem come up when Jagadananda gives Lord Chaitanya a pot of chandan, pure high-grade chandan oil when he's a sannyasi?
It is.
It is. Okay. So what does that mean? He's following, but it's not about the rules, that's what's going to elevate you, that's what's going to get you the devotion, that's what's going to get you perfection. That's just the social system you follow, as Prabhupada mentioned. I say, the most exalted system of human civilization. So if Krishna's performing human pastimes, is he gonna get down there? Krishna comes out and the reason he looks so good is because of that chain hanging off the side like that, you know? Does that make sense? You know, his dhoti's just a little down so you can see the edge of his kopins there, you know. The gopis definitely wear black nail polish, right? No? Yeah, no? Okay. So whatever it is, it's not like that. So it's using the highest civilization, the highest form of human. Then within that, then that's all, it's used as the medium for pure devotion. This is the subtle elements of it. Is that it's followed, but it's not followed. It means it's followed simply because it's a nice platform to perform devotional service on. It's not followed in that we're interested from dharma comes artha, from artha comes kama, from kama comes moksha. That we're not interested at all. We're simply following dharma because it's a nice form to serve Krishna with, as opposed to adharma. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. That's the point.
There's yes? a problem in understanding that comes up because our long history for lifetime is you do something you're attached to, and if you're not attached, you don't do it.
Yes, because it's karma and jnana. If I'm attached, I do it. If I'm not attached, jnana, I don't do it.
So if I'm following ashram, I must be attached.
Yes.
I'm not attached,
yes, so to get that balance, that's very difficult. Is that what you were going to ask?
I was just saying that because it's a reflection of the spiritual, then it would be natural to follow it.
Yes, like that. But it's only values because it's connection to Krishna. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Okay, so I'll end here.